WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are a positively giving 25th anniversary love to our friends at Curio Wellness, as well as Foreign Daughter. Had a great conversation with Wendy Bronfine about all things cannabis and education. If you're so inclined, find that at Baltimore Positive. Certainly find your way over to York Road, just south of Timonium, and our friends at Foreign Daughter over there. They are presenting our 25th anniversary. This week, it is Barn and Purple Memories, Purple Live Shows, as well as our charity and community work that we've done here over 25 years, which has included all of you in so many ways. I feel like I've seen so many people at the Kicks concert on Sunday in the rain, at the Oriole game Friday night at the Nest before the Adam Jones celebration, or inside the stadium. Certainly on Thursday night, my wife and I were out at the ballpark together. We had a blast. It has been a wild ride. Luke Jones joins us now to talk about a weekend of being at the ballpark, being on the couch, watching the Ravens play, running through some raindrops, and certainly the feeling of waking up, Luke, on Saturday morning, where it's even Steven all of a sudden. All the work you did, all the climbing from behind, we're four games back, we're three games back, look out, we're in first place. What happened to Tampa? You know, Wander Franco, like all the stuff that's happened here, to wake up on Saturday after that kind of a crowd on Friday night, that kind of a night with Adam Jones and the emotions. And I ran into Nick Markakis in the elevator shaft on Friday night, all sorts of people. They didn't hit the ball. They weren't hitting the ball. And how much different the Rodriguez start was on Saturday, but the feeling of going to Houston in a position where you have a little bit of rope. And all of that really happened late in the day on Sunday, because they probably could have, should have, would have lost Sunday's game, right?
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, it is amazing. And I think for me, and we talked about this in one of our previous segments, talking about doubt creeping in. Not that they've known they're going to be in the playoffs. So clinching on Sunday, clinching the playoff spot was a formality. That was going to happen, right? I mean, we've known that was a formality for a month now. And that's a credit to how well they played all year. But I think there was very much a curiosity, if not a concern, if not doubt, at least curiosity to see how this team was going to respond to having lost four in a row, losing Thursday night in a tough game. You know, it was a one-run game they lost on Thursday night, but then Friday night just being ugly, you know, considering sold-out crowd, Adam Jones, all these other former Orioles coming back. I mean, it was setting up to have that feel of what the Orioles did on Cal Ripken Statue Night in 12, when Adam Jones had a late home run in that game. There was some serendipity with that, with Jones being honored and so many of the Orioles from that era coming back on Friday night. My question was, how is a young team with very little veteran presence, and I say that with no disrespect to Kyle Gibson or James McCann or you know, the handful of other guys in that clubhouse, you know, there is no established guy that's been through it all. I mean, Aaron Hicks, you know, even the Yankees, you know, Aaron Hicks, of the recent Yankees, it's not like they've been the World Series and won titles. I mean, there was this question for me, who was going to step up and lead either on the field or from a clubhouse standpoint to say, hey, you know, we're okay, guys. I know we're young and we haven't been in this spot before, but we're a good team. And hey, everyone loses four in a row from time to time. For me, it was so encouraging to see how it played out, because I was in the Orioles clubhouse Thursday night after they lost game one of this series, and Gunnar Henderson talked and he said, you know what? We need one big hit and that's going to turn our offensive struggles here around, you know, which had lasted 3 or 4 days at that point in time. Well, Gunnar Henderson got the big hit on Saturday night. He hit the 2-run homer in the second inning that gave the Orioles a 4-0 lead. You mentioned Grayson Rodriguez. He and Gunnar are the two youngest players on the roster, the way that they led the way on Saturday night. On Friday, after Friday night's ugly defeat, Adley Rutschman talked, and he was almost flippant about it, Nestor. I mean, in the postgame clubhouse, he said, you know what? Every team goes through some tough times, and tomorrow's a new day, and you know we're going to be fine. We're a good team. And again, he's 25. He's a second-year player. He's never won anything at the major league level. Now he did in college,
But he's never
but
lost anything either.
that's true. That's true. But then it was Adley Rutschman hitting the home run off Fairbanks in the eighth inning that pulled it to a one run game on Sunday. And he hits the game tying single in the 10th inning. So while everyone's thinking, okay, who are the veterans that are going to pick up the slack? Lo and behold, it was the youngest guy, some of the youngest guys on the roster that led the way for the Orioles over Saturday and Sunday. And that's just so encouraging on so many different levels. So the feeling of late Friday night to what it was late Sunday night and waking up on Monday morning, I mean, it is night and day. And hey, they still have a lot of work to do here. Let's not act like this division is theirs for the, you know, th that it's so sewn up or anything. It's not. I mean, they have a two-game lead. They do have the tiebreaker, so you know that gives them extra wiggle room there. There is no game 163 scenario anymore with these expanded playoffs. So you look at the schedule, this series against Houston, another great test, another potential playoff preview. You're going to see Justin Verlander. I mean, the Astros are very good, although they've had some surprising issues at home. They're a 500 team at 38 and 37 at home beginning this series. So that's something you point to. But if you can at least be in a position where this series doesn't turn sideways, you know, you don't get swept, which they haven't gotten swept all year. You look at the remaining schedule then, Nestor, four against Cleveland, under 500. Come home, two against Washington, one of the worst teams in the NL, although the Nats have played a little bit better in the second half of the season. And then you close with four games at home against Boston. The Red Sox just fired their general manager, and we know how disappointing the Red Sox have been this year. So, you know, other than this Houston series, which is big, it's absolutely massive for the Orioles to go there and play well and at least maintain this lead, because we know the Rays aren't going anywhere. You know, we saw this back in July when the Orioles took three of four from them down at the Trop. The Rays, almost identical record with the Orioles since then. So they need to keep winning, but the schedule does set up, and it sets up for them having the cushion that they do. It's not huge, but it is a cushion that I saw on Monday morning. FanGraphs had them at 80% to win the division, and that sounds about right when you look at the scenarios. So they've got to keep winning. They've got to make sure that they, you know, you want to stay healthy. You know, you hope Mountcastle with this left shoulder issue that forced him out of this series. You know, MRI looked good, but he hasn't been ready to swing the bat just yet. So you hope to get him back in the mix. And certainly on the pitching front, you're trying to put your ducks in order. You're trying to figure out, this is the point now where Brandon Hyde needs to start thinking. You know that you're going to be in the postseason, at least in the wild card round, and you hope you don't have to pitch in that round, but you never know. He's got to try to figure this out. Okay, how do the days fall? Where do I want Kyle Bradish to be? Where do I want Grayson Rodriguez to be? What's John Means going to look like this week, you know, in Houston in his next start? Where's Kyle Gibson fit into this? Where does Dean Kramer fit into this? Is Jack Flaherty going to fit into this at all at this point? I'm guessing not at this point, but the point is, Brandon Hyde has to multitask right now, because you know you're in the playoffs and you want to try to figure this out to be in your optimal order and set and all that with your rotation. You want to try to keep guys fresh as much as you can, like an Adley Rutschman, for example, but you need to keep winning. So these are good problems to have. Let's be very clear about this, but there's a lot of work left to do. So as much as Sunday was fun and the clubhouse celebration was so cool to see, and yes, these guys should feel good about what they've accomplished to this point, they're not done yet. And as Brandon Hyde said, as he toasted the clubhouse, you know, that was only step one of many celebrations to come. And whether we're talking the rest of this year or whether we're talking about the years to come, the Orioles certainly, they're not settling for just clinching a playoff berth. You know, they knew that that was going to happen. That was a formality here in recent weeks. Now they have the task of holding on to this division lead that they have for themselves with 2 weeks to go.
We'll be watching baseball late into the night this week. By the time we get to Thursday, the Orioles will be on to Cleveland and the Guardians and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before the Ravens get to Cleveland in a couple of weeks. We're going to be at Coco's on Thursday. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have these Fantastic Raven scratch. Also already had some lucky wins at Fadley's last week as part of our conversation with our Coppin State friends. Coppin State brought Jackson, the mascot, down. So I want to give a shout out to Ruffin. Also had a great conversation with Larry Stewart, as well as Dr. Anthony Jenkins. Coppin is our partner. We're their flagship. That was last week at Fadley's. This week, we're going to be at Coco's with these, as well as our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, and Jiffy Lube. Going to be hanging out with Rasig, celebrating playoff baseball in Baltimore, talking some art and some fun down in Lauraville at Coco's, probably having a delicious cheeseburger as well as one of the legendary crab cakes there. I love the coconut shrimp as well. And our friends at Jiffy Lube are new onto the Maryland Crab Cake Tour as well. John Morgan will be with us on Thursday as well. Look, the most important Oriole game is tonight. And like, it felt great over the weekend. It felt great for the fans. It was a letdown on Friday and Thursday. We went through that, but the cathartic feeling of, hey, we're in the playoffs. We don't even need to win, but we got to win. It's extra innings, and they put the thing up on the scoreboard. It's kind of a weird thing. In 79, I don't give you the grandfather Nestor stories because you weren't born in 79. In 79, my mom and I, because my dad was working on a Saturday in September, we went out to see the Indians play. Memorial Stadium. We sat in Wild Bill's section because when I went with my mom, she would do whatever I wanted to do. When I went with my dad, we sat in left field because that's what my dad did. But my mom and I went that night. It was rainy. And I remember sitting in section 34 on a Saturday night, about 6 o'clock. I think it might have been a doubleheader that night too because they had to make some games up. And the announcement came on the scoreboard. The Orioles have clinched because it was a Saturday afternoon loss. Somebody lost somewhere. And we're there. And I was like, and this isn't wild card. This is 79 where you win the division or you don't, right? And I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of a bummer, you know? So the clinch actually happened in a rainstorm while I'm sitting in section 34 before the game started. They were kind of warming up. And I'm like, well, that's kind of anticlimactic. And that happened Sunday as well, where the clinch happened in the middle of extra innings of a tie game. The Ravens had just won. All of this stuff happened at 4 o'clock, including me driving the kicks. And then you think like, well, I'll take the feet off the game. As a fan, I feel like, right, hang the bunting. Let's figure this out. Let's figure out if Luke and I are going to be traveling to Dallas, for God's sake, and I hope not. Minnesota, that would be kind of fun, but chilly. Or certainly in the first round, probably Tampa or maybe Toronto, right? I mean, Seattle feels like they're a little bit out right now. But all of that is predicated in the same way that we felt on Thursday and Friday when Tampa came in, that you got to win the division. Just because you won the series, so to speak, you didn't win the series, you split, but you got out of it, two up. You know, getting swept in Houston or going to Cleveland, stubbing your toe this weekend and coming out back from this road trip 2-5 or something crazy, that would be a bad thing. And so as much as we feel great about this and great about setting the starting rotation, they got to go out in seventh, eighth, and ninth inning and win these games every night because that bye is the most important thing. It was last week when Tampa got here, even though they survived the weekend and they didn't sweep them and they didn't wrap anything up except that they're going to be playing. I'm nervous. I mean, this is where – and they've never collapsed in any way, even though they stunk back at 4th of July when they had that huge crowd. They stunk Friday night in front of the huge crowd. I'm bullish on the team. I'm a believer. But I'm only a believer if they hold rope here. If they somehow squander this in the next 2 weeks and they have to go play on Tuesday and Wednesday in Minnesota or Houston, if they have to go back in 2 weeks because something went awry here and Tampa catches fire and they're pissed off about what happened over the weekend, that wouldn't be good. I mean, we can't be playing wild card games, especially not now.
None of this is a given. I mean, other than they're going to be playing in the postseason. We know that. They've clinched that. Nothing else is a given. I mean, they have a two-game lead with 13 games to go, and I get it. They have a tiebreaker, so you can say, oh, it's kind of like three. I get that. That's nothing, right? I mean, that is – we saw this. I mean, they had a four-game lead when they were playing at Fenway last weekend, and that evaporated in 6 days. I mean, that's how quickly it can happen. They had a rough stretch. This wasn't a stretch where they lost 12 of 14. They lost 4 out of 5, you know? I mean, that's where it was.
Dude, and Saturday, I went over to Costas to get food. My wife and I went at like 5:45, and I hit my kid, and my kid came over. And I'm like, I'm taking the food and going home. I mean, like Saturday night was a real, you know, like, It was
Sure.
going the wrong way. It really was.
Sure. So, but you look at it and look, that's not to that is not me expressing doubt about the Orioles' ability to play well over these final 2 weeks. I mean, look, I mean, this is a team that still could win 100 games for the first time since 1980. Win the division, of course, number one seed. I mean, whoever's going to win this division, I mean, you look at the rest of the standings. I mean, it's the one seed or you're the four seed. And if you're the four seed at this point in time, and again, this could still change so much because all these teams are bunched together. But let's say, heaven forbid, you don't win the division. And yes, you're hosting the wild card round at Camden Yards. But as it stood on Monday, you're talking about the Toronto Blue Jays with their starting pitching coming into Camden Yards for a best of three. Nestor, you're talking about a lousy, not even a lousy, just a tough 24 hours. You're out. I mean, that's what the wild card round, that's how that's set up to be now. I used the example of the Phillies last year. I mean, they made it all the way to the World Series. They started out as a wild card road team in St. Louis. They beat the Cardinals back-to-back games, and suddenly they're off. They're off and running and making an unexpected run to the World Series. So that's why it is so important for the Orioles not to take their foot off the gas here whatsoever. And I don't think they're going to be clear. That said, you're going up against a really good Astros team who still has plenty to play for. And I mean, they're trying to hold on for the West Division championship. They're, a game and a half up on the Rangers, 2.5 up on Seattle going into Monday's
I can't
action.
believe we're
So
going to have six more of these again before the Ravens play again on Sunday, right? It's crazy.
right, exactly. I mean, that's how this works. And even going to Cleveland, like, look, I mean, the Guardians aren't very good. That they were the team that was one of these teams that won the waiver lottery with the Angels. It hasn't made any impact on them. They're not winning the division against with Minnesota atop the Central, but they're still a team that they're not garbage either. You got to go to Cleveland and play well. You need to go there and win 3 out of 4. So the good news, if we're as we're talking about the Orioles here, be remiss if I didn't mention where are the Rays in this. You look at the Rays schedule, home against the Angels. We know where the Angels are. Otani's done for the season now. All that talk about him being in the dugout or not just speaks to how much they've fallen apart and how much they've squandered Shohei Otani and Mike Trout here in recent years. But after their three against the Angels, they have Toronto coming in. I mean, think about the postseason ramifications of that. They have six games left with the Blue Jays. The Rays are going to be in. I mean, they clinched. They're going to be at least the wild card. But what that means for where Toronto could fit into this picture, I mean, that's massive. And for the Orioles' sake, the Rays going up against Toronto for six, I mean, Toronto's a good team. I think they're one
Well,
of those
Toronto can get
teams.
knocked out by Seattle too, right? So Toronto's
Sure.
fighting for their life. I mean,
Exactly. Well, and the Rays are fighting for their division life, and wanting to win the division the same way that the Orioles want to win the division. So it, you look at the schedule, how it sets up, these three games in Houston aside, I mean, the Orioles do have the more favorable schedule here, but it's 2 weeks of baseball, Nestor. I mean, we talk about all year. It's a marathon. It's a 6 month season. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You can't live and die each day like it's football. Now it is a sprint. Now it is living and dying each day like
don't
it's
tell
football
anybody
because
that when
that's
they
how
left the
important.
stadium on Friday night that it, you know that
But that's how important it is, that how important each of these remaining games is. And that's why it's so important that the Orioles got off the mat the way they did on Saturday and Sunday. I mean, that was just huge for them. It wouldn't have been over. Even if they had gotten swept, it wouldn't have been over. But boy, you're talking in such different terms than we are right now. About this team and its confidence level and their mojo and how they're feeling and leadership and everything. You are able to salvage a split. You're no worse off than you were at the beginning of the series, except now you have the tiebreaker because you won the season series. I mean, you're feeling really good, but feeling really good, and we always talk about it in momentum. Momentum's as good as what? The next night's starting pitcher. I mean, that's just how baseball works. So we'll see how John Means looks in this series, and we'll see. The Orioles listed some TBDs, going into this series. Part of this equation, I talked about lining up your rotation, but the other factor here, Nestor, is they've been in a six-man rotation for what the better part of. They started that in what, early August? They went into a six-man rotation. you've got to phase out of that, right? Because you don't want to be, you're not going to have five guys go in a five, in a best of five series in a division series, I would think. I wouldn't think you're planning to do that. So how do you do this? Do you remove Flaherty from the rotation and you go back to a five and he goes to the bullpen as a long man? How does this work? How does it play out? So
I think with 3 or 4 days off 2 weeks from now, if they get to that point,
if you get it, right.
they're gonna be able to do whatever they want at that point.
They do. But again, these are the things Brandon Hyde still has to think about, over the next 2 weeks. But again, good problems to have. Let's be very clear. That's not, I'm not being negative bringing that up. I'm just bringing that up as part of the equation. And they're still trying to sort out how their bullpen's going to look. I mean, again, Cano for the ninth inning is the primary closer. Fine. I think we all expected that to happen with Felix Bautista going down. But, DL Hall, I'll be honest with you, Nestor. I've been underwhelmed by DL Hall in terms of thinking about him as an eighth inning high leverage guy like the Orioles were hoping to see, when they called him up after the Bautista injury. Jacob Webb's looked really good at times, but they've leaned on him and he's had, a couple hiccups since his phenomenal start. You feel great about Danny Coulomb. C&L Perez has been more good than bad since the All-Star break. But we've talked about Fuji and how much of a coin flip he's been, although certainly more good than bad over the last 3 weeks or so. But you're still trying to sort all that out. And again, you're trying to got to win games in the meantime. So there's a lot of information gathering going on in the process, but you need to win every night. I mean, that's how important these games continue to be. And as I said, even when the Orioles won 3 of 4 at the Trop back in mid to late July, the Rays did not, they didn't wither at all. They had their rough July, they had their rough month, but they've been every bit as good as the Orioles ever since. It's why they've been right on the Orioles' heels that entire time. So it's been a little bit 1989 Blue Jays Orioles like, where if you recall the final 2 months of that season, I mean, they won on the same night, they lost on the same night. I mean, they just did the same thing just about every single night, and that's why it went down to the final weekend. So this the way it works right now. I mean, we know the Orioles aren't going to be clinching the division here. It's not going to be this week at the very least, so they have to keep winning. And the good news is get through this Houston series above water, so to speak. Then the schedule does lighten up a little bit over the final 10 days. But hey, it's baseball. Got to go out there and win. And just like the Orioles have been spoilers in the past, the Cleveland Guardians would like nothing more than to spoil things for the Orioles. And the Nationals would certainly love to spoil things for the Orioles, but for those 2 games next week. And the Red Sox, hey, they remember the curse of the Andino. So, lots to play for, lots to lose still for the Orioles, who, yeah, they're in the playoffs, but that wasn't the ultimate goal. They want that number one seed. They want the division title.
3 games down in Houston and a 4 over the weekend in the land of Cleveland, including the Wednesday getaway day. Make sure Wednesday afternoon, you realize they play a 2 o'clock game on Wednesday, otherwise into the evenings. Luke and I will be tweeting and communicating. Luke's going to be out at the Castle this week, where the Ravens, by the way, are 2-0. The Indianapolis Colts come to town this week. I don't know that conjures up the same feelings about the Colts, but I'm sure Dennis Kalatsos will differ with me about all things blue and white as we celebrate this week. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is coming to Coco's on Thursday. We'll be there 2 until 5. I'll have the Raven scratch offs to give away. I hope this is a lucky batch. We did have a lucky winner at Fadley's last week. Our friends at Window Nation, 866-90 Nation, reminding you, weather's changing a little bit here. Windows, I was 39 years I had these windows. Changed them out a year ago. It's changed everything. 866-90 Nation. See our friends at Window Nation, as well as Jiffy Lube right around the corner from you. We've been talking about the oil changes. I had my oil change at the Jiffy Lube in Merritt Boulevard a couple weeks ago. Did some great work over there. And longtime friends, the Blau Vault family and all the local dealers. Big appreciation for their sponsorship of Baltimore Positive in football season. Luke's going to be out at the Castle. We're watching Orioles baseball. We are up at baltimorepositive.com.